Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started. So in this week's Whole and Healthy Live episode, me and Laura are reunited once again, and we're going to be talking about contraception, which is an awesome juicy topic. So we're going to get probably pretty personal about my and Laura's sex lives and also chat to you about options and implications and about all the different things out there. And this is a bit of a part of a series we started called The Period Party. So do make sure you go back and check out episode the first episode of that series within The Period Party. And we'll do a couple more things, really looking at hormones and our periods and all of that sort of stuff. But before we dive in to some juicy goodness, how have you been, Laura? We've not been together on this podcast for ages.
We haven't. I know we just said, didn't we, when we first started talking, that it feels like it's been quite a while since we've even kind of saw each other. The last time of which was at our Whole and Healthy Live day.
Yes.
So we should probably update on that, which was, it was a really fab day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was so good. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, and I was expecting to enjoy it.
Yes.
Which is a theme that always comes up with our live events, isn't it? We're always like, that was so awesome.
It was a bit like the first retreat that we did, but it was a bit like, that went so well. Kind of, yeah. Like, it was a bit of shocking how well it went, but it was really, really good. But other than that, I'm trying to think of what I've been doing over the last couple of weeks. I did speak a bit on my blog how I've had like a bit of a health kind of niggle, and just kind of waking up to the fact that I'm ready to address some stuff that I've had going on, and just generally kind of just starting off on a new journey, I think, with my health. So that's been quite a big thing to explore, and I'm still in the process of doing that, really. So that's been quite a big thing. But other than that, I just had a lovely Easter weekend. Just really enjoying spending time with Finley and James over the weekend. And just kind of, it's actually been quite a nice, quiet few weeks, generally. I felt like the start of the year was quite go, go, go. And then over the last couple of weeks, it's been a bit quieter. So that's been quite good for me.
That is good.
Nothing like majorly exciting, but just in a good way, if that makes sense. And how about yourself, Kezia? What have you been up to?
Well, I was in Crete for a week on holiday, which was really fun. So somehow me and a group of my friends have gotten into the habit of just going to Greece every Easter, because it's always someone's birthday. So last year it was one of my friend's 30th, this year it was another one of my friends. And so we went away for a week, which was just really fun. I think with running a business and with doing my master's and life being a bit busy, I think I'd become a bit of a hermit, to be honest, and not really spent good time with friends regularly enough. So it was actually really nice to have like that sort of tank filled up over a whole week of just girl time and chat and dance parties in the kitchen and drinking too much home brewed thing that our guests, we stayed in an Airbnb and the guy was like, oh, I make this myself, and we weren't even sure what it was, but it was nice. And it's a bit like probably a Crete version of whiskey, I imagine. And so that was really, really fun. And then other than that week, it's felt a bit full on, just, but I think that's just because I'm getting to the end of my uni year, and so I've got tons of assignments due, so a lot of it has been trying to keep my head in the right place as opposed to letting all the stuff stress me out, of being like, no, stay calm. And a lot of deadlines and stuff, it's all just about how you manage it. So that has been a bit of an ongoing up and down thing, but I've started my like a meditation course, so that's been helping.
Cool.
Like just like a little, you know, beginners, that's like 2 or 3 weeks where you just try and do it every day, and it just kind of teaches your brain how to switch off a bit, which has been really, really helpful. It's just your brain can just get so full with, or even just running a business or just life in general. So that's been new. Trying to do that, my little app on my phone, trying to be like, not clear my mind, but focus my mind and not judge the thoughts. And it totally is just trying to, the obstacle is just sitting down to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, once you're doing it, you're like, oh, I feel so much better now.
I'm so glad I did that. But it's just literally sitting down for the 10 or 15 minutes and doing it. But yeah, other than that, I'm excited for May because a lot of my uni assignments will be done. And that, well, I think that'll just make my brain a lot less full, yes, which would be good.
It sounds like you've got an awful lot on. Are you practicing self-care, Kezia?
Well, that is a good question. Actually, after our event in Newcastle, I was totally inspired. So I have actually been ramping up my self-care. Like yesterday, I was working on, it was a bank holiday yesterday, but I was working because I've taken so much holiday recently. And but I was just feeling really tired. So I stopped work early and then I just sat in the bath for about 2 hours and read a book.
I had a bath yesterday as well in the middle of the day, which is very nice.
It's my new favorite thing, actually, probably even more so than meditation, is having a bath in the middle of the day. It just feels so kind of luxurious and cheeky. And I like a bath. I know some people don't. But I put like some bentonite clay in there and oils and some magnesium salts. Mm-hmm. And I just stayed in it until it went kind of chilly. And I was like, I think I need to make this a weekly practice of like that sneaky daytime bath. Which is a joy when you work for yourself and you work from home, I suppose. Not even. No, just do that in the middle of the office. Guys, I'm going home for a bath. So I've been ramping that up. And then you talked about on our day away about the different themes of self-care. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed, I picked up from that my organization was probably the one I invested in least because I just deemed it unimportant. Like, is it not a form of self-care?
Yeah, I think a lot of people find that organisation is the bottom. It's my one that I do the least. But actually, it can have such a massive effect when you do. And it doesn't have to be like crazy intensive, like decluttering. It can just be like little things that make you feel a bit more organised that really add up and make a difference.
No, massively. Like, I've done a bit of decluttering of our bookshelves. So I just got rid of a bunch of books and took a trip to the charity shop and then have been chatting with Jo Meyer the Half about maybe even getting a cleaner and just I think a part of me feels guilty about because I don't have children and my flat is not like I live in like a humongous, like I could clean my flat myself. It's more of the should I invest my time in doing it when there's other things I could be doing. So that's something I'm looking at doing just to give that bit of headspace, I think. Because I do actually really like an ordered and clean environment. I just can't be bothered to spend hours doing that myself often.
Yeah.
Which is the classic.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Well, some people really like cleaning, and I'm not one of them. Yeah, no, I'm not really one of them. Although when I was at uni, I had millions of jobs, and for one period of time, I was a cleaner, and I loved cleaning other people's houses. I was like one of those really pernickety, would go around with like toothpicks, getting grout out—not grout, but like mold out of the sides of things and all that sort of stuff. But when it comes to my own house, I'm like, I would happily have someone pay to clean this. Like, please come and do it. So. It is a good question, Laurie. You'll have to keep on asking me with how I'm getting on with all my self-care, because it's so easy to be like, well, I've got loads of stuff on, so obviously the first thing that should go is myself, which is such an odd way of thinking, actually.
It is when you think about it like that, but I think because we're so conditioned, especially as women, not to put ourselves first, or even not to put ourselves on equal pegging with everybody else. You know, it kind of becomes that norm that we have to challenge, I think. I've just booked in for a spa day with my friends in a few weeks' time. So it's like a full day spa and I can't wait. And it wasn't cheap, but it was just, you know, when you just think, I really, really need this.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to go to that. So that's going to be so good. That's my big bit of self-care.
Bars are so relaxing.
They are. And of course, we're meeting up in a couple of weeks' time when we go to London, aren't we? So Kezia and I are off to London for a couple of days and in a couple of weeks' time where we're going to go and see some of our favourite speakers, talking at some events and just generally meet up with some cool people down there.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, actually. That'll be a nice little, almost like business self-care time away.
It will.
Of investing.
I'm just looking forward to having a bed to myself and not having a 2-year-old in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you won't have to wake up for anything for no reason in the night unless you want to. Yeah,
I know. Although, to be fair, you know, I'm terrible. I probably won't sleep without him next to us. It's one of those things. I'm so used to co-sleeping with my toddler now, I'm a bit like, oh,
where is he?
Where is
Come
he?
Back. Oh no, that is true. But yes, so let's chat about what's that? Oh, contraception. I totally forgot. I was like, oh, more about self care now. Let's focus on that. And but yeah, all about contraception. And actually, on the self care theme, in May, we will be announcing some exciting stuff around our retreat. So if you're not on our list or on the retreat waiting list, which you can join over at wholehealthylife.com, make sure you get on that, because that's we're going to be launching and sharing all the information with you super soon.
We are. So it's very, very exciting. And there'll also be a very, very, very limited time special offer.
Yes.
To begin with, so if that's something that you're interested in, which we hope you are, because it is going to be amazing, keep an eye out for that. So we're just putting some final plans in place, aren't we, today? So it's very exciting.
It is. It's going to be awesome. And that retreat, we'll be talking all things self-care and nutrition and life and periods and poo, probably. Maybe not the same.
We're going to go selling it, because yeah, we're going to be talking.
I know, people are like, oh my gosh. I know, I do always have to warn that when I start doing things, I'm always like, I am going to ask you about your poo, so if that's an issue, then I'm probably not the person you should work with. I'm going to ask detailed information about everything going on and regular updates, so I always have to pre-warn people. But yes, contraception.
Yes.
It's a bit of a beast of a topic to begin with, but Laura, why don't you tell us a little bit of your... what contraception you've used in the past and where you're at with it now.
Mm-hmm. This is how I could do like the nervous laugh. Oh, I'm going to have to tell you all about my sex life. So I was on the pill. I went on the pill when I was 18. And I didn't come off it until I was 28. So I was on it for 10 years. During that time, it was just another thing that I did. I think there was a few times like I took like pill packets of pills back to pack when I was on holiday, so I wouldn't have a period and so on. And I came off the pill at a time when my weight was quite low. I'm sure most people who listen to the podcast are probably quite familiar with my story of orthorexia and getting to quite a low weight and being quite obsessed with food. But when I came off the pill, basically my period never returned. So I think kind of probably looking back, what I had was a mixture of post-pill amenorrhea. So what they don't tell you when you go on the pill, or what they certainly didn't tell me, was that sometimes it can take a long time for your period to come back.
Yeah.
But I also think I had something called hypothalamic amenorrhea as well, which is to do with basically your body being so stressed that it prevents you from ovulating. So I think I had a mixture of those things. But yeah, so I didn't have a very good experience with the pill from that point of view. When I was on it, it kind of just did, it was just another thing. I didn't really notice any issues. Touch wood, I've been quite lucky in terms of my period's been quite balanced and not having like skin issues or digestive issues or anything like that. But so basically since then I haven't been taking any pill, haven't been on the pill, haven't went back on it. And we just use condoms right now, which are definitely the easiest option for us, because as I'm sure we'll go on to discuss in more detail, I don't want any artificial hormones in my body after that experience with the pill, and for a multitude of other reasons. So that's kind of like my story as to where I am now. And we will talk about other forms of contraception as well as the pill, but for many, many reasons, I haven't wanted to explore anything else other than just using condoms for now. But how about yourself, Kezia? What's your kind of history with contraception been?
Well, I think I first went on the pill, probably it was around uni. So I know a lot of people start early in teenage years for either skin reasons or sex reasons or whatever it is. But I didn't really begin. I think I tried it probably when I was about 19. Mm-hmm. And that was more around my periods being totally out of whack. And so the doctors were like, oh, try this. And I was also traveling to India, so I kind of didn't want my period, similar sort of thing. So I tried that. But to be honest, I think I was only on it for maybe about 5 months because I just felt awful. Mm-hmm. I just felt really depressed and anxious. And I think I put on some weight. And I don't know, at the time, the idea of weight gain was like the worst thing ever. So, you know, you just like, I'll immediately stop. so funny how we freak out about gaining weight, but anyway, that's another topic in itself. And then again, I went on the pill again, I think, to try and sort my hormones, probably early 20s. Mm-hmm. And then again, I tried a different type that time, and mm-hmm. still just felt not very much like myself. I just felt a bit of a crazy person, mm-hmm. and just not very, I just felt like it affected me quite strongly, quite quickly. So I came off of that, and then I have tried various different things before. So I've tried something called the NuvaRing, so it is still a hormonal contraceptive, but they say that it uses much less hormones, because mm-hmm. you basically place it within your vagina, and it's that kind of
a local release of hormones.
So it's much slower. So I tried that, that was probably a while ago, maybe 6 years ago, 5 years ago, but that didn't work well for me. It works, I know a bunch of people who use it and they love it. It's, for some reason, it's not that popular in the UK, but in Europe it's one of the most popular forms, because it's a slightly lower just a lower dose. Mm-hmm. But for me, it just caused a lot of spot bleeding in between, and then that was kind of my final hurrah with artificial hormones, and I was just mm-hmm. like, stop that, I'm just using condoms.
Yeah.
I was just like, my body does not, like, I tried so many things and tried really hard to get my body to do it, and then I just thought, no, this is ridiculous. And this, you know, in terms of sex, you know, it's a two-person game, so this isn't, I'm not going to take the full burden and let my body get a wreck because of it, which is something I feel quite strongly about, because I think I have a few friends that when they have this discussion, they're like, oh no, but my other half just hates wearing condoms. I'm like,
so? So I know, this is it. I think there was a study, wasn't there, I think, because they did develop a male pill, but apparently the side effects are so bad the precious men could not handle it, and it's the same kind of side effects that we as women are expected just to deal with. I totally agree. I think and I know some people don't enjoy using the condom for whatever reason, but it's like, you know, sometimes you've got to weigh things up as a couple or whatever. I mean, I think as well, I don't know, don't quote me on this one, guys, but I'm sure I read Alyssa Vitti, who I mentioned in the last podcast that we did about periods and stuff, she said that there's for many different reasons it is better to use condoms anyway. I'm sure it reduces risk of certain things and whatnot.
I think it does, and just, I mean, you've got your obvious, like, your STDs and that thing, but I think it's more, I think it does expand more than that.
It does, I'm sure it does.
I think I've read something similar. Maybe we'll put a link to that in the show notes if we find.
I'm gonna Google it now, because it's piqued my interest.
I know, because it is. It's one of those things. I think it's just really, I suppose, a lot of, like, obviously you can tell both Laura and myself are not a huge fan of artificial hormones and hormonal contraception, but this is really just about, hopefully, to help you find what works for you and what your choice is around it, and just to really empower you actually to make decisions around it. Because I think when I chat to people a lot about contraception, there is a lot of powerlessness around it. Either mm-hmm. it's because it's like, oh, my other half doesn't like wearing condoms, or my acne is so bad if I don't take the pill, and it can feel like people have to be on the pill. And so I really hope that people just take what we're going to say and really look at, you know, what's your own experience and what's a good choice for you. Because I think there's so many things about, in terms of contraception, the pill especially, that we don't always get told. And I think if you want to take it, that's totally fine, but you should just know all the information. Yeah. I think doctors don't always share with you for some reason, which is frustrating. But there is other forms of contraception. I suppose before we'll probably focus mainly on the pill within this episode, but there is lots of other stuff out there. Obviously you can get implants, but that's still you know, that kind of artificial hormones.
I think there's only one like non-hormonal form, well, not just one, sorry, but there's one of the ones is the coil. Is it the copper coil?
Yes, the coil.
So you can get one that does have, you can get a hormonal one and a non-hormonal mm-hmm. one. But again, I've kind of like heard very mixed kind of reviews. Some women love them, some are in incredible pain and it's not very pleasant. I've heard some horror stories about them, which has just put me off completely, the idea of one of those.
Yeah, no, me too. Me too. I've heard people getting them removed and inserted it going not great. I'm not heard of many people who enjoy the quail, but lots of people are on it, so that it must work for some people. Mm-hmm. My personal reservations are with that is having a copper inserted into your body. And we do need copper in as a like a trace metal in the body, just say like with iron, and we'll even have small traces of other kind of more toxic metals. But if you get too much copper in the body, it can be really problematic for yeast sometimes. Copper levels and candida overgrowth are linked together, and all of that sort of stuff. So I would be very wary of doing that unless I'd thoroughly checked how many heavy metals were in my body already, because that is a big problem for so many of us, actually, through using beauty products and fish and sometimes water and all of, amalgam fillings, all that kind of thing can mean we have quite a heavy metal burden already. So, but you're right, I think that's the main other non sort of hormonal based one out there.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. The other one is basically tracking your fertile signs, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. And I think it's just been approved as an actual official form of contraception. Is it Sweden?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's kind of like been given the sign off as something that's suitable as a form of contraception. So basically, there's different ways that you can track your cycle. We kind of touched on this in the last episode. But when you get to know your fertile signs and you've got that knowledge of how your body works, you can basically choose to have sex at a time when you're not fertile. So basically all of our bodies are sometimes fertile, sometimes not fertile. So you can choose to have sex without contraception in times when you know that you're not going to be fertile, and then either abstain or use another form of contraception when you would be fertile. But again, it's kind of like a bit of a tricky thing to get used to really pinpoint, and takes a bit of time. So there's certain signs, there's your cervical mucus that you can monitor and sit looking for changes in that, which would indicate that you're fertile. There's also your basal body temperature. So you can just use a simple thermometer and take your temperature every morning. When you see it spike, that's generally when you're ovulating, which is obviously when you're fertile. So there's different kind of, and I think there's some other things that you can kind of measure, but there's actually devices now. So there's one called Daisy, and I'm sure there's a few other different kind of ones.
There is a few. The names of them have gone out of my head because one of my friends has used another company before, and she loves it. She used it to not get pregnant and then to get pregnant when she wanted to, and they have found that really useful. So I'll maybe link to that in the show notes as well, because I can't remember the name. But there's a few devices. They're not particularly cheap. That's the only downfall of them. It's going to cost you at least £200 or £300 for one of these devices. But often people, it's one of those investments if it means, and it does mean then a lot of people use it, and it just means they reduce the frequency that they use condoms, or they just don't have sex during their more fertile periods. Mm-hmm. Plus, the benefit is if and when you do want to get pregnant, you know exactly when to go for it, like bunnies.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. It just, and personally, I think having that knowledge of your cycle is really empowering. But again, that's probably a whole other podcast episode to talk about that kind of stuff. So those are kind of the ones that are non-hormonal, and I think they've all got pros and cons. But just to kind of like go back to the pill, and like I say, we know that there's, or let's just generally talk about hormonal contraception. And why some of those can be problematic. What are kind of your views on hormonal contraception? Obviously, you've talked about your personal experiences, but
I find it's one of those tricky things, because the feminist in me loves the pill in that it gives people, it makes people feel like they have a choice. Like we're not just, as soon as we have sex, we're now a mum, and then every time we have sex, the consequences, we have a baby, which sometimes you just want to have sex, you don't want to have a baby, you just want to have sex because it's awesome and fun. So a part of me loves that aspect of it, but the thing that really gets my go is just how little information we're given when we're prescribed like say the pill, for example, And I think there's a lot of just physical impacts it can have on your body, especially a lot of my clients. I'll chat to them and they've been on the pill kind of similar to you, or like 10 years, 15 years. I had one client that had been on the pill for like 18 years and that was never reviewed with a doctor. And I think that's really important. And there's a lot of research that I'll maybe link to in the show notes, just a couple of great, relatively simple papers just summarizing the sort of nutrient depletion that the pill can have. Now, obviously, there's lots of different pills and lots of different combinations and all that sort of stuff. So it really does depend exactly on which one you're taking. But in general, it really depletes you for a lot of important vitamins and minerals that actually you need to make babies and you need to be healthy and vibrant. So, for example, things like it really depletes your magnesium levels. Magnesium is so crucial for the body, for your hormones, for your sleep, for your muscles, for your mood, for your mental health, for your digestion, for your pooping, for everything. Vitamin C massively depletes vitamin C, zinc, folate. And we all know how important folic acid or folate is for, you know, who are wanting to get pregnant. So and there's tons more. There's a lot more different depletions that go on. So I think it's just really important that we are really aware that if we do choose and make that empowered choice to take something like the pill, that we're aware actually we could be massively depleting our body of quite a large amount of vitamins and minerals. And that doesn't necessarily mean, oh my goodness, you need to freak out and be scared. It just might mean that you kind of you balance that out in another aspect of your life. So I personally would, if I had to go on the pill for some reason, I would definitely be taking a really high quality multivitamin along with it, probably with additional vitamin C and additional use of magnesium and magnesium spray and bath salts and that kind of thing. And I would also be really looking at making sure my liver is just kind of optimum in its functioning. So, and I think, I know that's a bit kind of technical and super nitty gritty, but I just think that information is really important in terms of if you are on the pill, but maybe one day you want to start a family, it's really not a great foundation for you from a, in terms of setting you up prior to having
that. You're kind of starting off depleted before you're going to be even more depleted. And I think it's a good idea.
Pregnancy is such a huge depletion on the body. It's amazing and it's a miracle, but it totally sucks you dry of everything.
Yeah, I know there's an article that went, I think it went kind of a bit viral on postnatal depletion. I think it was on that Goop, that that bloody Gwyneth Paltrow site. Yes. But it actually made a lot of sense and it certainly rang true to me after having Finley. But your body goes through so much and really you need to be, I think kind of coming off the pill and getting pregnant immediately probably isn't setting you up for success in terms of your well-being. I think giving yourself a good, 6 months to a year to just be able to kind of support your health and well-being, and just like as you were saying, make sure that you're getting the nutrients and things that your body needs.
Yeah, I often with my clients do a bit of a pill detox. I've got a few clients that specifically that was their main thing, and it's normally because they went on the pill due to hormonal imbalances to begin with, and so there is and there's, I'm pretty sure there's information of that online, and it's not, and it, all that is just, you basically just want to really nourish your body, like really in a kick-ass way, nourish it with loads of awesome fats and nutrients and minerals, and to really help balance. Because I do think, although I say that, and I personally will never choose to take the pill or any sort of hormones like that unless it's kind of critical for my health, I do totally get that people are scared to come off, because if there is acne or there is, you know, people, I've had some clients that are just like, oh, well, I just had to stay in bed for 3 days because my period was so awful that's why they went on the pill in the first place. And now they can live a normal life. So it is really that tension between the two of, it's actually really important that you feel confident and that your period isn't ruining your life. But it's also the reality of what it actually is doing to your body, which is kind of unpopular. I have a blog post about the pill, and if I ever repost it on social media, it's always the one people are like, meh, meh, meh.
Yeah, I can understand it. And I think you're absolutely right when we talk there about the feminist issue around the pill. And I mean, it's been quite interesting looking in America and Planned Parenthood and what's gone on there, and the you know, people are kind of holding up the pill and access to the pill as this fantastic thing, which it is. However, at the same time, I think we're not empowering ourselves with the information. I think the real empowerment is through knowing your own cycle.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, I mean, certainly when the pill's used for things like, you know, acne or really heavy periods, you know, endometritis and so on, it's been used like a plaster. It's not actually being, you know, we're not looking at the, it actually addressing why the symptoms are there. It's just slapping this thing over the top. And like I say, don't get me wrong, I can totally understand why if you're in a lot of pain and a lot of discomfort that, you know, you'll just do whatever it takes. However, I think there's other ways that are going to be much more, much kinder to your body.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a really good way of summing it up. It is a bit of a, and I think it is one of those things we just, it's okay if you want to take it, but just making sure you're really informed. I think that's just really, really important around just the impacts that it could have. And looking if there is, if it is because of hormone imbalance, it is because of skin or really bad PMS, actually really looking at, you know, not just plonking a plaster on and thinking, okay, at some point, do I really want to address this root cause? Because it's one of those things that it might be for a little period of time, it's actually just, you don't have the capacity to look at the root cause, so you need to be on the pill for a while just to live life. And that's okay, guys, we've got to be gracious and kind and gentle with ourselves, but it is on the back of your mind thinking, okay, well, when am I gonna really address this, and when do I have capacity to address it? And then, you know, that might not be when you have like a screaming newborn or when you have crazy deadlines at work, you know, it's all, that's where the self-care element comes into it. But do think there is a reason, and your body does want to find balance ultimately, and I think so it is that tension, isn't it, of like half of me is like, no, I'll never go on it, and the other half of me is like, actually, I've never dealt with acne, I haven't even as a teenager, so I don't really know what that feels like. So I can imagine it feels pretty rubbish, and I would probably want a pill just to take it away, you know, if it gets really bad and it's on your face and it can really impact your confidence. So be kind and gentle, guys, as you kind of explore this area sort of for yourself, if you are on the pill, or maybe you've been on the pill before or are thinking about going on it, be kind about it all.
Absolutely.
And it's one of those things in terms of other options and stuff for contraception. I am looking at starting to use one of the tracking devices as well. So I'll maybe, I was going to buy one because I've been wanting to try it for ages, but it's just that investment into it. So maybe in the next few episodes we have of the period party ones, I can give like an update, because you're much better at tracking stuff than I am, Laura. I think I need an expensive device to help to motivate me to do it. I know that sounds ridiculous, but if I'm like, I paid for this, I'll actually track it. Like, I track my periods, but in terms of like temperature, I think I managed to take my temperature every morning for about 4 days, and then it just went down the toilet. I was like, oh, I can't bother.
Yeah, I think it's a bit, it is a bit tricky to, and like you say, sometimes when you pay a lot for something, you get that accountability element back. But I think it's just so worth it, because you really just start to understand your body. You start to understand why you have that day every month when you just want to rip everyone's head off. And you might have that day where you just want to sit and eat chocolate all day. You know, you kind of like start to understand yourself a little bit more. I'm sure we'll do another episode, and I'd love to get Lisa Lister on the podcast and to have her talk about some of the more like woo-woo elements of our cycle and what they mean for our energy and all of that kind of stuff. It's really fascinating to think about that. And actually, I really love that Lisa kind of sees our periods as something that is really amazing, and that's actually like a superpower rather than something like than a curse, which is how most of us are brought up to view it, really.
Yeah, no, it's true. I've been following her on Instagram, and it's been really helpful at unpicking some of my beliefs around periods and the cultural elements of it, of it being like, oh, gross, and something you should hide, and something that's like horrid, and something, you know, it's just a bit icky, like, and actually being like, no, this actually, let's flip this around, this is an amazing, powerful thing that I that is part of my life and actually can be enriching if I choose to connect with it and choose mm-hmm. to allow it to empower me. And so, yeah, if you use Instagram, definitely check out her on Lisa Lister, and we'll maybe put that in the show notes as well. Yeah. But I think in terms of, I suppose, taking action from this episode, I imagine a lot of what we've talked about might trigger some of you off, or it might just get you thinking. And I suppose in terms of summarizing different actions that you could take, I suppose the main one is to really just go away and have a think about your contraception. And yeah. if you're happy and comfortable and peaceful about it, wherever you're at now, other options are, if you say are currently on the pill, is you can transition down to something that is a slightly lower dose, like yeah. like the NuvaRing or the coil with the one that has the hormones on it as well. You know, that you can kind of do it in stages if you want, or you can start to research, look at some of the stuff we put in the show notes, and just start to think about how you feel about hormones, and if it's something you want to come off of, and if you have the capacity to really nourish your body and balance your hormones in that, and just kind of could take it one step at a time, and keep on having sex. Just wrapped it all up with that sex. I was reading something the other day about how good sex was for your immune system.
Yeah, it's just fantastic, Elisabetti, for talking about all of this kind of stuff and about how orgasms are so amazing for women and all of the fantastic yeah. things that they do for our health. And
yeah, they do amazing things. We should be orgasming a lot. Like, it's really great for your health. If you need to heal your body, you just have lots of good sex. which sometimes is easier to say than do in practice for sometimes. But that's another podcast episode.
Another podcast altogether. But yeah, so hopefully yeah. that's been helpful. And just even just kind of, and like I said, this is not to kind of be totally pill bashing. And I know there's a lot of, you know, helpful stuff about the pill, but I think it's just about, just as Kezia said, just to think about perhaps going into a lower hormone version, or just to kind of, you know, just to get you thinking about what might be right for you, basically.
Yes, it is. It's just taking a bit of time and growing an awareness of your body, what you need and what you feel comfortable with, and being gentle in that process. Yes. And obviously get in touch with Laura and myself. You can ask us questions on Instagram or over on the website if you do have any questions around that, because we'd love to answer. But otherwise, make sure you head over to wholeandhealthylife.com and sign. If you're not on our retreat waiting list or on our newsletter list, then you can just sign up there, because we'll be announcing some exciting stuff there super soon.
Yeah.
And otherwise, we will see you soon for another awesome podcast. We've got some exciting things coming up, actually, in the next couple of months.
We certainly have. Well, it's been lovely to talk to you all again.
I know, it's been nice hanging out with you, Laura, as well. We've been hanging out for a few hours now before we even hit record. It has. And it's been nice. It's always good to chat.
It has. Well, we'll see you again soon, guys.
Bye.
Bye.